Hey, good morning, everybody.
Based on hitting it.
There we go. 12:15 at 720 WGN. Elton, Jim, Andrea Darlis, we are in for Bill and Wendy on the stream. Thank you to Ryan.
We are on the stream. That is what we are. Boy.
You know what? I like to sing. I think I'm a terrible singer, just in general.
I got news for you.
I am.
I more than think I know you are not a good singer.
But do you think you are? I mean, do we all have this?
Well, I have been in. I have sung on stage.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
I have been in musicals.
When in high school?
No, I have been the Big Bopper at the Mercury Theater in Chicago.
Uh huh.
But
you're a musician too.
No, I don't play any instrument.
You don't?
No, I just sing. Well, I don't sing. I'm not a trained singer.
So would we put you in the category of like Stevie Nicks and Cher, and they don't play their own instruments? Or Belinda Carlisle.
But you should see how I spin in my black dress. Like Stevie Nicks.
Oh.
That I do very well.
Like the witch. Like the white winged dove. I saw, last time I saw...
Sings the song, sounds like she's singing.
I saw Fleetwood Mac, not this last time, but a year, almost, I guess it would be 2 years ago now, at the United Center, and poor Stevie Nicks.
I think she's, I don't know what's happened with
well, that situation.
Well, don't forget, these people are in their 60s.
I know,
and
but I saw Debbie Harry, same thing.
Everybody's...
Debbie Harry sounds very good. She does a lot of the pointing of the microphone.
Right,
know. You know what, that is an interesting question. At what point do you say, all right, they've had enough?
Well,
and the Rolling Stones still sound good. Joan Jett still sounds good.
I think it really depends on, Tony Bennett is 92.
And Jim, I think he still sounds good. Say what you want about that wavering voice or whatnot, but he's still got that soft, that soft, melodious tone.
He's got an album he just put out with Diana Krall, the jazz singer.
Yeah.
And they do all these Gershwin songs, and, they sound great together. There's no question that his voice isn't as strong as it used to be. But it still has that kind of...
Yeah, that's it. Like that raspiness to it.
Can't take that away from me.
We used to see him at Ravinia every year.
I saw
the Gaga show, and that was the last time I saw him there.
He still plays there.
A year and a half ago.
He was there last summer.
He's so good.
Yeah. I think it depends. Obviously, I go to see Elton John. Now, he's 71. His voice is still strong. He had, about 25, 30 years ago, he had throat surgery. He has some nodules on his... his vocal cords. And so his voice, he used to sing in that high falsetto in the 70s, like Crocodile Rock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So now his voice is deeper, but his voice is actually stronger because it's a muscle and he's always touring and singing, so it is strong. I think it depends on the artist, how well they have maintained their voice. Now, what's interesting about Fleetwood Mac is... It's interesting that you say that you think that maybe she's lost her voice a little.
Well, I'll finish. Tell me what you're going to say, and I'll tell you why else I think she's kind of lost her mind a little bit. And I love Fleetwood Mac. I love Stevie Nicks, but she forgot what city she was in.
Oh, really?
You know, she's kind of stopped, and she made it. It was White Winged Dove, and it was toward the end of the set. I think they play that last or second to last. So the Edge of 17. So the background stuff starts to play, and she stopped them. She said, no, let's start again. And then she turned to the guitarist and she said, what city are we in?
Really?
He said, Chicago. And she's like, oh, I love Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And that was toward the end of the show.
That was toward the end of the show.
Well, what's interesting then is that actually adds a little more intrigue to the story because they are currently on tour. And about 6 or 8 months ago, they were planning to do this big world tour. Well, what's his name?
Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah.
He was like, I don't really, can we hold this tour off for a while?
Why?
Because he wanted to do some solo stuff. Plus also, and here's the intrigue, they got, about a year ago, there's a charity called Music Cares, like for artists that do a lot of charity work.
Yeah.
And it's given out by the music industry. So Fleetwood Mac got the Music Cares, Group of the Year award for their charity work, right?
Okay.
So it's a big event and it's in LA. And so when they were announced now to receive their award, the walk-in music that they had as they came on stage was Rhiannon,
right?
Which is a Stevie Nicks song.
Yes.
So apparently,
Uh-oh.
Lindsey Buckingham kind of smirked.
Oh.
Like, well, why are they playing a Stevie Nicks song
as opposed to a Fleetwood Mac song?
To a, like, you know, a band song or like a Go Your Own Way or one of his songs.
Right.
Then, apparently, when they all gave their little speeches, Lindsey Buckingham, apparently, she has a reputation of being kind of long-winded at these things.
Uh-huh.
So, again, now don't forget, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks used to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, they had a history.
And they came into the band together back in the early
70s. Right. They were on again, off again.
You know, so they've got a weird
history
and dynamic between them. And even though they broke up many, many years ago, and he's married and she's never been married, but, you know, they have separate lives, and it's been 30 or 40 years, you can still see there's a lot of sexual tension and a lot of baggage with those two.
I was almost going to say animosity, but you're right. Yeah. There is the tension
between those two. There is a weird tension about them, like they're an old married couple.
Yes.
So apparently, while she's giving this long-winded speech, he made a comment, like, while everybody's behind her.
Right.
He made a comment, like, to the other band members.
Uh-oh.
So the next day, he gets a phone call from their manager.
Oh, no.
And the manager, who is this guy Irving Izoff, who is also the manager of the Eagles, so he's a high-powered guy, he says, Stevie Nicks says that she never will appear on a stage with you again.
No.
So he's like, what are you talking about?
Because the comment he made.
And so because the comment he made with the walk-in music and then this other comment he made when she was...
And when was this? This was
about a year ago, or 8 months ago.
Okay. But now they're touring.
Right. So she said... So apparently, now this is what's interesting. So now Stevie Nicks, at this point, even though maybe to your point that she's... you know, doesn't have the voice or whatever that she used to. She is still clearly the selling point.
Oh, absolutely.
For Fleetwood Mac.
I'm sorry, but any lead singer, I know they're all the band. Every band goes through this. Van Halen, Fleetwood Mac, the Bengals, everybody, the Go-Go's, name any band. She is still, I agree with you, the quote-unquote lead singer, even though Mick Fleetwood has sung a few songs, Christine McVie. Well,
and Lindsey Buckingham.
And Lindsey Buckingham. She clearly, I agree with you,
so here's
is the lead
thing.
Singer.
So she knows that. Yeah. And so she says to Irving Azoff, look, you tell him I'm never appearing on stage with him. And she tells Mick Fleetwood, who is still the leader of Fleetwood Mac,
yeah,
it's either him
or me. And they got rid of him.
So if you're going to do a world tour...
It's going to be.
Are you going to have Fleetwood Mac without Stevie Nicks?
No.
Or without Lindsey Buckingham, if you had to pick the two?
You can't do it. It's like when Queen toured, was it Brian May, or was it Queen who toured?
Yeah,
Freddie Mercury, you know, and it just, they were never the same.
They have
again.
Adam Lambert. They've had,
Brian May's great. Adam Lambert's great. It's not anything, but you're right. Yeah. You can't have a band without the lead singer.
So now. They decide. So now they put out the story that Lindsey Buckingham has been fired, and they blamed the fact that he said, well, I want to do some solo work. So then he was like, okay, wait a minute. That's not what happened. So now he told the real story
of what happened.
And then apparently, after he heard this from Irving Azoff, the manager, so then he emailed Mick Fleetwood, and he didn't get a response back.
Uh-oh.
For months and months. Yeah. And the next thing he knew, he was fired
from the band.
Right. And so now they're planning this world tour because she said, look, you want to do this world tour without me?
Right.
Are you going to sell any tickets?
No.
So to replace Lindsey Buckingham on the tour now.
Who is?
This is the weirdest. I would love to go to this show just to see how they're pulling this off.
Who is it?
It's not who. It's two people.
Really?
Because don't forget, Lindsey Buckingham is also the lead guitarist.
Yes.
In the band.
Yes.
So. I get one substitute. I don't understand how they're doing the other.
Who is it?
Remember the song, Hey Now, Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House?
Yes.
Neil Finn was the singer.
Okay.
He's taking Lindsey Buckingham's. Now, he's like Australian.
Now, who's the other one?
Mike Campbell, who is the guitarist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and now Tom Petty died.
Okay, right.
So now I could see Mike Campbell playing guitar.
Right.
And I could see the connection because Stevie Nicks, if you remember, played a lot with the Heartbreakers. In fact, one of the best Heartbreaker songs is Stop Dragging My Heart Around,
yes,
which has Stevie Nicks and the
Tom
Heartbreakers.
And Tom Petty, right.
So I could see that connection. But Neil Finn.
Yeah, but Jim, okay, so hard.
Is singing like, so he's singing the Lindsey Buckingham song.
Okay, hardcore music fans like you, like me, like Curtis, like we know music and we know musicians. I could tell you Blondie's drummer played with Annie Lennox.
Right, but my point is the tone of the voice.
No, but get this. People like my mom. Or, you know, my aunts and uncle, you know, who like Fleetwood Mac, who kind of listened to them back in the day, too. They don't care about Lindsey Buckingham.
No, but my point is, if you've got an Australian guy who does have a thick kind of accent singing Go Your Own Way, is that going to sound like I'm going to see Fleetwood Mac and I want to hear Go Your Own Way, which is one of their biggest hits.
But at least
Neil Finn is singing it.
But at least they're that song is more of an ensemble.
I guess.
So that can kind of be covered up more so than if you lose Stevie Nicks.
Believe me. So yeah. Now, right now, Fleetwood Mac is on tour. I don't know if they've come to Chicago yet. It's a major tour.
I think they have. I think they came in December. Okay. I'm going to look because I know they were either just here or they are going to be here very soon.
Curtis,
that was the one.
They were just here a few months ago.
October. So I didn't see that tour.
No.
I saw the one with Lindsey Buckingham.
I would have loved to have seen that just to hear how Neil Finn was handling the Lindsey Buckingham vocals because what was actually pretty cool, but think about this now. So now I'm going to see Fleetwood Mac, right?
Right.
They play Don't Dream It's Over. They do that song, the Crowded House song, and then they do Free Falling, the Tom Petty song. Campbell is in the band.
But again, I would love that.
Oh, I know.
Love Petty. I love Crowded House in the 80s.
And
I'm okay with that.
Didn't Lindsey Buckingham just settle his lawsuit with Fleetwood Mac too?
Well,
I thought I saw something in Rolling Stone.
So now he's back.
Well, he's not going to be back. I'm sure. He's been in and out of the band several times.
Yeah.
And the irony is that about a year ago, he did an album with Christine McVie.
I love her.
Just those two.
Love
so
her.
You'd think that he was, in the group here, but Stevie Nicks clearly has the clout and the power say him or me, and they pick Stevie.
I agree. She has the clout over everybody in that band because don't you remember The Little Lies? You know, in the 90s, Christine McVie picked up most of the female lead vocals before she left when Stevie Nicks took off, or she left the band briefly.
And then Christine McVie left.
Then she left, but I don't think Christine McVie could handle that whole tour
being the only
female lead.
Well, once again, it's not even Stevie Nicks, the voice. I think it's Stevie Nicks, the presence. I mean, she is, she is Fleetwood Mac in terms of if you're on stage.
Yeah.
I don't see how you're Fleetwood Mac
without
Stevie
her.
Nicks.
I completely agree.
With the flowing gowns and the tambourine.
And next we'll get into Van Halen. No. It's Elton, Jim, Andrea, Darlis. We have more of this coming up next, 720 WGN. All right, you did the story about Sears. Wow,
yeah.
So that's the end of Sears.
Well, we don't know for sure if it's the end, but it's looking like they're preparing for the end.
Holy
cow. I mean, bidders have until this afternoon to come up with a plan that
they're going
to buy it, but I think we could do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. But you know what, Kim?
I'm a fan of Kenmore.
I am, too. I love, and their appliances are great.
Last forever.
Craftsman.
You guys are going to laugh at what I bought. Jim was saying, if you look at both of our hands, he has no calluses. He does
like
nothing
a baby's bottom.
Yes.
Like a baby's bottom.
I have more calluses on one hand than he does on both.
Mine are from lifting weights.
mine are from doing housework. No. And shoveling and snow blowing.
Mine are from typing.
Craftsman is one of Sears' big I don't want to say sponsor
brands.
Exactly. Yeah. So I went to the Sears and Niles. They're liquidating everything. They're going out of business. The lines are wrapped around. I mean, they have, two cash registers, kind of, like the old setup.
Right.
You go up and the lines are just wrapped around. Everything's pretty much picked over now. I think that was one.
What were you buying? Ratchet wrenches? What were you buying?
I bought the
table saw.
No, the tools that what you do the bushes with. Hedge clippers.
Hanging out with Lou too.
Oh my God! I got hedge clippers. Guess how much I got them for $20.
You mean the actual electric ones?
Oh,
I still have
give a tree a haircut.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God! My bushes never look so good.
I have the chick ones.
That's what I was using.
I got the old ones.
And I bought them, and I waited in line probably for an hour and a half before I bought these. But they were like $100 down to $60 down to $20. So, but it just reminded me. No.
Well, did someone in the news, was it you or someone else, were they talking about the Gap closing?
I think I heard something out of the corner of my ear. Ryan was mentioning
that
something.
Even the downtown in New York.
Yeah, I think they're closing flagships everywhere.
I mean, just love the Gap.
But it's unbelievable.
I mean, I know, it's really sad.
It is sad.
You see that it is mostly restaurants now that are open, but most
or workout places.
Yeah,
or
but
something
all
like that.
Of those brick and mortar places.
I know. Remember, I mean, we're talking off the air.
I mean, for the Gap, I mean, Sears has been into decline for a good 10 years.
No, but Sears is, you're right, but just remember as a kid, you'd get the Sears catalog.
Oh, my goodness.
And that catalog was as thick as the phone book.
I couldn't wait. I used to circle what I wanted.
Well, it's amazing when you think, and not only that, because think about Chicago. I mean, that Sears had such a presence
here. It's based in Hoffman Estates.
But it was the Sears Tower.
It
started here in Chicago. In fact, I saw something on the, one of my favorite shows on Sundays, the CBS Sunday Morning Show with Jane Pauley.
Oh, yeah, Jane Pauley now.
Yeah.
And I love her.
Yeah, it's such a good show. They actually do stories that are longer than 45 seconds, which is nice.
Yeah, right.
And so they
How's your attention span? On
I still have an attention span, even though I was a kid of the MTV generation. I have the attention span. But so they were doing a history of Sears because they were talking about how it's beginning to decline.
Right.
I didn't know that actually Sears started as a catalog company. It wasn't a store first.
Oh.
It started as a catalog company.
Well, you know, but that's interesting. If you think about it now, a lot of these like pop-up shop, Instagram stores, things like that, Amazon, all start online, and now they're putting in brick and mortars.
Right.
So it's kind of the flip, you know, going back to that.
They were, apparently what happened was that Sears and Roebuck, who were the two guys, they started this catalog for rural people. To send when the post office really got established and they realized that they could ship things to these places, these people that could not get to big cities to get these appliances or these different things. They said, wait a minute, there's a huge untapped market of people that live in rural areas that live too far to the cities to get all these things. So we will send those to them. So they actually started this, you know, we always think of the catalog as kind of the added.
Right.
But actually, Sears started as a catalog company. And then when the catalog company did so well, they said, wait a minute.
We're going to build stores.
Let's now we've established a name brand. Let's go to the big cities and build the brick and mortar stores.
Do you remember you could buy a house?
Yeah.
And build a house.
Yeah, there was a prefabbed house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even before prefab.
Any of those still standing?
I don't know if they
are. No kidding.
Especially if they were in Tornado Alley. I don't know if they were still standing.
Oh, my God.
But you
brought up a great point, though, Kim. It used to be the catalog we'd order from and then the stores. Now, look at Amazon. Amazon was only internet. Now they're building stores.
Right.
Cashierless, of course. But
some of the.
I know they have people monitoring.
They also have some other stores that aren't cashierless. I think there's one.
In the Illinois Center.
That's a cashierless one. But there are some other Amazon stores that aren't. But, you know, there's even these, like, Instagram stores that now have pop-ups or things like that. Or they're starting on Instagram and then they turn into.
But here's my question.
Store.
So there's no question that everybody is buying things online.
Yeah.
So it's clearly cutting into the brick and mortar. However, when you look at Target. Target is doing as good as it's ever done in this kind of market. So the question has to be, and they were talking about this on the story, is that Sears, like most of those.
They didn't keep up.
Yeah, most of those well-established places.
Right.
The ability to change is always so slow. And even though they think they're changing, they're not even close to really changing. And that's where Target went in and said, wait a minute,
there's
a niche.
And Target does some cool things because you can order online, pick up in a store.
Right.
You know, you can do that with Amazon, too. You can pick things up. But, you know, they are definitely keeping up with.
But I guess my question is the idea of the department store where you have this one place that has all these several things, that's really not outdated. It's just, I think how you execute it.
Right.
How you give people more than one option.
The stores that
Because Sears had the ability.
The stores that
to
we were talking about too, Venture. theirs. Remember Montgomery Ward? You could buy not a house,
and that was
but you
a
could
catalog
buy
too, right?
Anything. I remember my dad.
The Ward's catalog.
The Ward's catalog. But
J.C. Penney had a good catalog.
The J.C. Penney catalog.
They had a great catalog.
And I think they're struggling. I'm not sure they're as bad off as Sears, but I think they're also really
and Carson's
struggling.
Is gone. They're
Carson's
starting to come back.
Reopen, but revamp. But I don't think it's going to be the extent.
But,
of what
these stores, I think you're right. I think they start whatever started out maybe as a clothing store kind of branched out. Target had a great strategy, but Target truly is kind of the new Montgomery Ward. I remember my dad had drop us off. It was the brick and mortar store, and I go toward the clothes, and my cousins would go for the toys, and he'd go for the sporting equipment section. It's kind of like reinvented. But what are Target and I guess Walmart to an extent? What are the companies now that still have the brick and mortar and are hugely successful? What are they doing differently?
Yeah, what are they doing that Sears isn't doing?
Yeah, or Venture, or these stores that are gone.
Well, they have an online presence. Have you ever seen Sears with an online presence?
That's true.
They really don't.
Very true.
I mean, and that was basically, too. I mean, think about, not only was it a place where you're talking about your memories, but let's go back 30 or 40 years. Every mall or every shopping district
had the anchor
had an
Sears.
Anchor store as Sears. I mean, if you were going to be a new mall, especially, or a new, as I said, or a new area in town, you needed a Sears.
Right.
There was always a Sears. I grew up on the Northwest Side and at Six Corners there by Irving and Cicero in Milwaukee, right at the corner. In fact, it was the last one to close in the city.
Right.
Was
just,
that
it
Sears?
It just closed not too long ago.
Yeah. That was the last one to close in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the anchor of that Six Corners area. Now, there were other stores. There was a store called Keys, which was a department store. There was a Woolworths down the street.
I remember that.
But Sears, or it was called Kresge's, actually. Remember Kresge's?
Yes, I do. Kresge's, Woolworths.
Yeah.
Woolworths.
Yeah.
Ooh,
five
that's
and,
way
the
back.
Dime store. 5 and 10.
Remember the dime store.
No, the dime store. And Kresge's used to have, because it was Woolworths, Kresge's.
Right.
They used to have a diner. Remember, some of those.
Oh, yeah, they had a counter.
They had a counter. And you could actually go shopping, and then you would go and have
I don't remember any of this.
You would have a horrible cheeseburger.
And I actually lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and not when I was alive, but when my parents were alive. My dad always talks about the fact that, you know, African American people were not allowed to eat at the counter.
At the counter.
Woolworths.
Really?
And he remembers that to this day, and he remembers when then they were allowed to eat at the...
Isn't that crazy?
Come and eat at the counter, which...
Oh my gosh. Now, that's crazy.
God,
but my point is that Sears was such a major... It was an engine. It was an economic engine.
Yeah.
It wasn't just... And as I said, in terms of a mall, it kind of validated the mall. Okay, well, what's there? Well, there's
a Sears.
Sears, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, is keep in mind, Sears also owns Kmart.
Well...
And
the, no,
I mean,
other
the
way around, Kmart bought Sears. That's the crazy
is that what
thing.
Happened?
That
okay.
was so crazy. Kmart, and you're sitting there going, I remember when that happened, that Eddie Lampert, the guy
Do
that
owns it. You remember Blue Light Special?
Oh, of course,
God,
Kmart.
When
that.
You walk
Kmart
in,
shoppers.
You saw that blue light going?
Kmart shoppers.
Everybody's running over there.
Yep.
But here's the thing, like, if you think about it, even if you're going to Target today, most Targets now you walk in, there's a Starbucks in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody's got to pick something up, you want to sit down, have a coffee, you walk into Sears or Kmart, they don't follow that trend, you know?
Right.
And
you
even Target has a place to eat.
Yeah.
If not even
it's a
Starbucks.
It's a Starbucks or something.
But they even have that little restaurant with the bad popcorn and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
right. You know. And the hot dogs on the rollers.
Right.
Like
now most of them have
Starbucks.
Yeah. But you know what, though? It's so sad to see. And again, this is back in my day. So you were North Side. I was South Side. And same thing. Orland Square Mall had a Sears, a Penny's, a Marshall Fields, and a Carson's. And one by one, they all went away, starting with Marshall Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Which, how crazy is that?
Well,
you thought
when I was
Fields
growing
would
up
outlast.
In Kentucky, we had Sears, Penny's were the main anchors, and then we had Shillito's, which became Shillito's Rikes, which became Macy's.
Oh, really?
Part of Federated Department Stores.
Okay.
So, you know, and Macy's, too, I think, is struggling.
Oh, there. Well, look, I mean, think about the fact, too. I mean, a couple of years ago, this talk about the reality of it. So, Carson's, which was always an upscale place, sitting there on State Street, that former Great Street, with the Louis Sullivan, architecture, and then Carson closes, and what goes in there? Target.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that's right.
A Target is in where Carson's was. I mean, when you think about State Street, it had the Michigan, it had Marshall Fields,
right.
Carson's. I mean, that was the street. It was kind of like our Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
At the time. Now, Michigan Avenue is obviously that. Right. But at that time.
But even look at Michigan Avenue, how many empty storefronts there are.
Oh, my God,
how many retailers are
Eddie Bauer closed. I didn't realize Crate and Barrel is gone on Michigan Avenue, too.
Well, that's
going to
be that super mega Starbucks.
Yes. Yeah,
well,
I know.
Well, I was shocked. My wife and I go to New York at least once a year. I love New York.
Me too. Yeah.
We always, if we went there over the holidays, we would always go down Fifth Avenue to see their windows. Because they always had great windows.
Right.
All of a sudden.
No windows.
They're closing.
I know.
Lord & Taylor's closing at probably in the next 2-3 days.
Yeah.
It's like Lord & Taylor. Now, Bloomingdale's is still there on Madison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, these are major. If you're talking about a gap in New York.
Yeah.
Right. Closing. Like you said, I just heard that.
Well, you know, the thing is, maybe they don't want to pay the exorbitant rents because you can go to a Gap anywhere, mm-hmm. look at what you want, or get it online. Why pay a big. You know, it used to be that those flagship stores in these really expensive areas, people flock there because that's where they had the cool stuff or new stuff that you couldn't find other places. Now, all you have to do is look online, so why pay the rent?
I completely agree, and I think they're offsetting that by paying shipping. You notice you always have to pay shipping unless you spend $100 or you spend
$75. And sometimes you'll get, if you're in the store, they'll give you free shipping.
Right.
Now, for the last couple of years, you guys were still working at GN, and the Showcase Studio, right in the Tribune building. What was the traffic like at the Apple Store next door?
Oh, it's packed.
When
have you ever gone in there?
Yeah.
I've seen on the outside, but I've never gone in.
To try to get a Genius appointment there, if you have something, my Apple Watch wasn't working, I tried to get a Genius appointment there. It was like 5 days out.
So once again, it depends on the brand, like you're saying,
what you need,
or Amazon. But you're saying like Amazon. Now you know darn well, I haven't been to one of those stores.
I haven't either.
Have you been to an Amazon brick and mortar store?
Not yet. No, I can't wait though.
But you know darn well that I'm sure that there's people flocking there because it's the Amazon name,
right? And they want to check it out.
Well, the thing too about Apple, if you need to go into that store because architecturally it's absolutely gorgeous.
It's pretty
cool. It is beautiful. So cool.
Yes.
It's worth going in there just for that. Go inside, and it looks like, you know, the river is just part of the store. And from above, it looks like
an infinity
folded laptop.
Yeah.
That's how New York's Apple store is, too, on Fifth Avenue. It looks like a tiny little lobby. And you walk in, and you go downstairs, and
that's
you go down
the
winding staircase.
One.
Yeah, and that's the store.
Yeah.
And I remember when they were building the new one on Michigan Avenue, someone said, oh, how are they going to accommodate it? It's going to be so small. No, it's underneath, which I think is part of the appeal.
And I know that they, you know, rent it out. You can have parties there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So you get like weddings and stuff?
Well, I don't know. I
but
remember
still.
When it first opened, it said the venue was available.
Oh, how
for
funny.
Rental.
Well, what the heck? If you'd have one at the Museum
cool
of Science and Industry.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, holiday
especially
party
if you're
2019.
Like a computer geek. How great to get married in the middle of the Apple store.
Oh, my God.
And you could have one of the geniuses do your wedding.
There you go.
Right.
All click online.
All click online. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I miss those.
Well, plus, I mean, we here in Chicago, now you're not from Chicago, born and bred.
No.
But for those of us who are born in Chicago, I mean, you have to remember that think about it, Marshall Fields, Carson's, Sears,
Penny's,
Montgomery Ward's. All were Spiegel. Remember Spiegel?
Oh, yeah.
Spiegel had the catalog, too.
Remember, they always used to advertise for Spiegel on all game shows.
On all the game shows, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, Chicago was really the home base
hub.
For many of these major
retailers.
The thing
for a girl like me who loved fashion, who loved to have the latest trends and stuff, you know, growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, it was a big deal to drive up here and be able to go shopping.
Oh, sure.
Because we
didn't
have everything Chicago had.
Yeah.
We'd go to all those stores.
Right. And we're such a transportation hub. That's why I really wish we would have pushed. You know, I think Amazon had their mind set up for their HQ.
Oh, that was such a scam.
Yeah,
they knew
they were just trying to see how many incentives they can get. And I understand that. But we are really a hub. We have the river. We have the lake. You know, New York is one of the few cities that's the same thing. Seattle, partially, too.
I'll tell you, to your point, and that's a really good point, because I'm going to have Paul Vallis on Monday on when I fill in for Bill and Wendy. And one of the questions that I'm going to ask him is, you know, exactly what you're saying. So don't forget, Apple just went and built some more new headquarters other places. Chicago lost out on this Amazon one. Everybody's going to, you know, obviously, just outside of New York or New York or, you know, Austin, Texas now is a big place. So here is Chicago, which is a transportation hub. It's a metropolitan city. It's a big city. It's got arts. It's got commerce. It's got everything you want. Beautiful architecture. We all know all the... Does Chicago have the hip factor? Because it is an old city. And so when you are an Amazon or you are an Apple or you are a Microsoft and you're trying to attract these millennials or these young people, Are they going to want to come to Chicago where there is 6 months of winter? And it's a cruel winter, let's all admit
but
that.
But they can all work from home.
Right.
Right, exactly.
They don't have to go outside.
Believe me. But I think that the next mayor of this city has got to think it's more than just incentives. Because we've just seen, they were going to give the store to Amazon, no pun intended.
Well, and Mayor Emanuel, regardless, I'm not trying to get political here, but he has done a great job with moving a lot of headquarters back to this city.
Right. But I'm just saying, but still, even the ones that he has, it's Walgreens, it's Boeing. You know my point?
Right.
It's not the hip cutting edge. Now, thank God McDonald's moved here.
You have 1871, though, that has some of these, you know.
But I just think that in the next 10 or 15 years, Chicago really needs to do something. Whether it has to be a combination of business as well as, and we have to do something about this crime because we are being used as the national example of a big city with crime out of control.
But you know what, though? I honestly think, I mean, and since you brought this up, I really do, and this is not just an institutional arrogance thing because I'm from here. I really do think we do have a hip factor because we'll have musicians come in from other cities who are like, we love Chicago. We love the music scene, the art scene, the dining scene. I would argue that Chicago is probably one of the hipper. I would put us in the top five.
I hope you're right.
Because here's why. You say like Austin. Now, when I think of Austin, I think of the music scene or I think of, you know.
Barbecue,
right?
Willie Nelson.
What else? I mean, what else could, and I'm not picking on Austin because it's a great city, but what else could they offer?
Well,
Chicago,
they have better weather than we do.
Yeah. Aside from the weather, I would say the two things holding Chicago back are the weather and the taxes.
Look,
because we are, and the cost of living.
Right.
Because
right.
Our cost of living in this city is insane. And does it need to be? I don't think it
well,
does.
Well, I think actually Bill Daly, I forget whose show he was on yesterday.
He
was addressing that. The fact that the cost of living
in this city
has just gotten out of control.
And everything,
and the taxes.
Kim, and I'm not, I mean, the taxes as well, but like food, parking. We pay more to park in this city than we do New York.
Ridiculous.
Because, I mean, I've been to all these cities. Yeah. We pay more to park here, or property taxes, or assessments. You know, that is just through the roof. If we could get that down,
well, like I said,
I think that's number one.
I hope Chicago is on the list of hip cities. All I'm doing is looking at the results of the last couple, three, major announcements for these high-tech companies who are looking to attract young talent and who are, espousing the hip factor, and they're not picking Chicago. And so I'm just going based on that. I don't believe me. I love when I travel, I tell people what a great city Chicago
is. Chicago is a big city, but it still has an element of people. You know, you feel like in a nice hometown. People stop. People say hello. People are friendly.
I always say it's a small big city.
Right.
Yes.
And it's New York has its own vibe.
I always tell people
they've been in New York before, when you get off the plane and you walk down the little strip to get into the jetway.
Yeah.
And you walk in to get into the terminal. You already have to start walking fast.
Yes.
There is a pace.
Yeah.
There is a vibe. There is
an urgency, which I love too.
Some
people don't.
I love it. But my point is, and Chicago doesn't have that. Chicago has the hustle and bustle of a big city, but it is very little. I've had many opportunities to move in different kind of things, and I've always felt like, you know, what I love about Chicago is that it has all those things that a big city like New York has, but what it has that I think New York doesn't have is a livability.
I guess.
You don't have trash just sitting in front of the sidewalk. And the, you know. The,
I've always dreamed.
Chicago is
we're
definitely
cleaner.
More
I'd almost say we're cleaner and friendlier. And again, I've been to New York a ton of times too, and I love the city. It's great. I love New York. It's alive. It's always alive. But it doesn't have the friendliness that Chicago has.
I've always thought about, I would like to live there, because I've been there I go there maybe once or twice a year, and we stay there for two or three days, and you just get that, like you're saying, Kim, you get that energy, that vibe, and you just walk in the streets and blah, blah, blah. And there is, to me, even a charm of all the garbage on the streets, because I don't have to live with it.
Right.
I'm just there for a couple of days. So I don't have to live with that smell every day.
It doesn't get picked up.
I always wonder, like, When you walk around and you see the New Yorkers, though, when you really see a real New Yorker, you know, they're not smiling.
Well, they're rough on the outside, but then when you get them inside and you start talking to people, they're lovely and they're nice.
No, what I'm saying is, I think there is, you have to be a little rougher to live there because there's so many people. It is a melting pot. There's so much going on. Mm-hmm. And so I think here, the pace is certainly, it's a big city pace,
right.
But it's not as frantic and frenetic as New York is.
There's also a charm to Chicago's neighborhoods that New York doesn't
have. They don't have a neighborhood.
Totally. I love our neighborhood. Yes. And to your point, too, I think Mayor Emanuel, and to a lesser extent Mayor Daley, too, before him, really started focusing on the neighborhoods and making it homier, you know, focusing on Pilsen or, you know, Ravenswood or Engle. Well, not so much
that's
Englewood.
The one thing that I'm going to explore now that I'm moving down here is, like, you know, I want to have dinner.
Right.
Oh, are you moving into Chicago?
Yeah, remember we talked about this
the other
day. Where were you?
Didn't you hear? Didn't you listen to her? No.
That was just 2 days ago.
But you know what,
I was thinking about today's show.
But that's the thing. I want to go and have dinner in a different neighborhood and shop in a different neighborhood and just check it all out. I can't wait to do that.
When I moved to the city, that's what I did. I started in Lincoln Park and then Wrigleyville and then Lakeview and then built from there. And every weekend I would
go somewhere new.
Dinner in Pilsen or Chinatown.
A farmer's market.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to try
and hit the neighborhoods, too, that are just not North Side, too. I mean, again, I know you have, speaking to the crime point, too, you got to be careful in certain neighborhoods, but there's some awesome restaurants in Englewood and Chatham and Pullman. I mean, I love Pullman. Pullman's a great area.
The sad part about Chicago now being used as this national example of crime out of control. But I think what's kind of a dichotomy is we who live here know that it's very localized.
Right.
It's in two areas of the city. It's not, you know, when you walk down Michigan Avenue, it's not Dodge City. Everybody isn't shooting everyone.
It's not the Wild West.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell people from other cities or other states.
You can't lie. It does spill over from time to time into other places.
Sure.
But you know what? That happens anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I think that that's another kind of PR thing that we have to, that has to stop. We have to serve, to your point, about serving those neighborhoods and those areas, because that reputation nationally has to go away.
Absolutely.
Or we're going to be hurt.
Absolutely, it does. We'll wrap up here. Elton Jim, Andrea Darlis, Kim Gordon is in studio with us as well. We'll be back after this on 720 WGN.